It's over. It's all over. The drought. The damn wall is busted. It's 62 long years. Cronulla have won it. Cronulla have won it. 14-12. It's over! Cleveland is a city of champions once again! The Cavaliers are NBA champions!
For all your sports news, reviews and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin.
Good morning, this is the Sports Desk with Liam and Kayla for your politics on a beautiful... It's quite warm, it's a warm Wednesday morning.
It's a funny warm, it's like a thick and humid warm outside. It's our last show for the season,
yes.
So we're going to have a bumper edition.
Oh, it's going to be massive, absolutely.
So today we're going to be talking a fair bit about AFL. It's been a huge week, particularly if you're a Bulldogs fan like myself. We beat the Dons. On the weekend, so
that's text- why I played the 2016 intro for you. So 2017,
very,
so you
very,
really
very
get
nice
final.
Of you. So I was getting
probably party like it was 2016 actually.
Yeah, correct. You can follow the show and you can text in any questions or any thoughts that you have throughout the show. That number, get your phones out now and punch it in. It's 04475 191 70, and just text us through any thoughts or any questions that you might have. We're going to be talking about the best captains in the AFL, so maybe text us through
who you think.
Unbiasedly, yeah, obviously.
We'll kick off with that, actually. Because I saw it on AFL.com, and they were talking about the best captain. And personally, for me, I thought it was a simple answer.
Joel Selwood. He is often the one that gets cited in this conversation. Other captains that maybe come close, I think...
The person on the show said Trent Cotchin.
Okay.
I thought that's a bit odd because if you're the best captain, your leadership wouldn't be questioned. And
correct, yeah.
There was a lot of rumours going around that Alex Rance was going to be captain in 2017.
Mm.
So that's why I'm a bit...
I'm also in the party that believes, though, as soon as your team is winning, your captaincy is applauded. You think you're... I think Geelong have had the luxury of saying they're such a successful side, and as soon as they lose a game, they point to the captains that aren't so great. For me, I honestly think Scott Pendlebury would come close to one of the best captains in the league.
Yeah, I do agree.
While they haven't had the success, he's been so consistent.
And he's a match winner.
Yeah,
he's a match winner. I know I said this a few weeks ago as well. I thought Easton Wood's job in 2016 was fantastic as captain.
True, yeah. That often gets overlooked, doesn't it?
Like I think
to step in like that, yeah.
I do find it funny, though, that last year there was no premiership captains playing. There was no premiership captain as captain.
Okay.
Yeah, Murphy stepped, because Murphy was captain.
Yeah.
Hodge stepped down, and Jack McVay stepped down.
Oh, right.
And then in 2018, there's two premiership captains now captaining.
So
Cotchin and Wood.
Cotchin and Wood, yeah, fair enough.
Funny how that jumped.
Changed. As we said, text us through who you think
so
is
we're both
the best.
In agreement with Joel Selwood?
I'm going to say Scott Pendlebury, just to be the devil's advocate. So that we're not just a show that agrees with each other.
Sorry, not be Vic Bias to the best interstate.
Well, interstate, one of the captains I think often gets overlooked is Shannon Hearn. I think
he's phenomenal, yeah.
Phenomenal, and if there was one captain that I wouldn't want to get a spray off, I think Shannon Hearn would be the number one person. I think he'd be real old school and just say it how it is.
Actually, probably one of my favourite players and probably one of my favourite captains, I've got to say Tex Walker.
Yeah, fair call.
I think Tex Walker's fantastic. And he has passion. Something I said, I think Lynch lacks, Tom Lynch from Gold Coast.
Mm.
Like, I know, I remember a few years ago, I think two examples of two former captains, but one current captain and former. Pavlidge and Boak, they both played a game when they were out of contract, and they just showed this pure emotion once they kicked a goal or something, and you just knew, you looked at them like, yeah, he's not leaving, you know, that's pure emotion. Lynch just lacks that pure emotion anyways.
Yeah.
So you can't read if he's going to stay or go just off his reaction emotions because he doesn't show any.
So what do you look for when you're assessing like a good captain? So do you look for raw emotion? Is that...
I look for raw emotion. I look for a great example again, the 2016 semi-finals. You know, Doggies were dominating, but Hawthorn's kicking all the goals and Easton Wood settled it.
Yeah, okay.
And that's when you should play Easton Wood forward, just FYI.
only in the semi-finals if we're playing Hawthorn and it's 2016.
And something like that, you know, you've got to be able to settle. Like Pavlidge, you know, great example. Revolt, great example.
Yeah.
Or I think Phil Davis.
Phil Davis is a good one.
GWS's win against Sydney for the first time in 2014 with a busted kidney or something like that.
Yeah.
Playing a buddy, something like that. Courageous. Stuff that gets your players over the line.
Yep. For me, I think it's a captain that is honest. So I think honesty is a good one, so that they can put their hand up and say, you know, I'm not very good at what I'm doing, or, you know, I'm not comfortable with this. I think honesty is the first one. The second one for me is that they lead by example. So if they say that they want something done, that they go and, you know, do it themselves.
Yeah, they have to do it themselves. And, yeah, it's just, you got to be... I do agree that the best player isn't the best captain. Like, Nick Maxwell, correct, I think, was a fantastic captain. Yep. And he won Collingwood. Well, he drew Collingwood the grand final, which ended up winning. If you watch the last 5 minutes of the game, his efforts in the back, saving a Nick Riewoldt goal, taking a good mark, which set up their goal to getting front, which ended up being a draw. His efforts there won the grand final in the end.
Yeah, and my third and final thing for a captain, I think, is integrity. I think you got to be your... lead in your own way. I don't think it's worth anything coming into a team and seeing what other captains have done and leading that way. I think it's best to, you know, do what you play to your strengths almost.
Yeah, you got to be your own captain. You can't be someone else's captain.
Exactly. Let's move on though. Lance Franklin on the weekend, probably one of the best goals that I've seen live. I was watching it and I thought, okay, that's incredible. There's something different about watching a goal live than when you're watching it on the AFL replay. For those that haven't seen it, Lance Franklin receives the ball just about on the square.
So, okay, off. Well, let's put some context first.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
GWS kicked the last three goals. Three, 10 points to margin. GWS had all the momentum.
Yep. And then Buddy Franklin to ball up. Ball ends up going towards Sydney. It's about on the corner of the square, maybe. Buddy Franklin receives the ball, gives a fend off, which a lot of people are saying is high contact. I say play on because it was, it was exciting. Gets the fend off and wheels around onto his favoured left foot. What do you reckon? 70, 80 metres out?
I'll say 70 because SCG's small.
70 metres out. He's kind of, he waits that half a second to see if anything's on and then just goes, I'm Buddy Franklin, and kicks it 70 metres out. One bounces in. And the commentary to go with it was outstanding. I think it was Anthony Hudson. It's just... over the moon. And I pose the question to you, can Lance Franklin win a Brownlow in 2018?
He came close in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Ben both agreed on Monday that he's the best player in the AFL.
Yep, I agree with you.
Like, he can win a game. I compare him to LeBron James in terms of when he was a bit younger, a lot of people thought it was overrated. You know,
Franklin had 22 votes in the 2014 Brownlow medal. Yeah. That's something that often gets forgotten. And that was the year Pritis won it.
Yeah, which was under a lot of... That's the year Ablett should have won but got injured.
Fife got suspended.
It was a very odd year. But yeah, Franklin did come close. But yeah, like I said, comparing to Lance Franklin, the fact now that he's in his 30s, an older player, he's now respected.
Oh.
And Buddy's season, apart from the fact that his goal kick has gone in halves, 8-4-2, so he'll probably kick one on the weekend. But
even his two goals on the weekend, statistically you look at it and you say, okay, he's on a downward trajectory. But
he kicked two goals at the end of the game when they needed two goals.
So that was his first goal that he kicked from the square. And then the second goal pretty much iced the game. And then throughout the game, like he was by no means quiet. Like he set up, Sam Reid kicked a lot of the goals for Sydney. So I think he played more of still a pivotal role, but just didn't kick as many goals.
Well, you'd think it's safe to say that Buddy Franklin would have got probably three votes, would have voted, scored in the votes round one and round three.
Yeah.
I think.
It's a safe call.
And as well as, like, in the Melbourne game, I think Jesse Hogan and Max Gawn also would have featured in the votes last weekend.
Yeah, fair.
And I've always wondered, like, I still remember 2015 when Goldstein was hyped as, you know, the only guy that could challenge Fife for the Brownlow and didn't even crack top 10.
That's right. That was a funny year.
The Brownlow is the midfield award, 100% the midfield award. I think Tony Lockett was the last forward to win it. And he won with Greg Williams, I think. It was a tie,
Well, I enjoy that the 2018 season has seen the return of this key forward. We've seen Bags kicked.
Yeah, two bags of eight, a couple of bags of six.
It's hopefully, good. Fingers crossed, that the return of the key forward sees the return of the Brownlow medal being anyone's award. Because
it should be. I think it should be.
If we're giving it to the best and fairest player, then if a forward is the best player, like we said, Buddy Franklin is probably the best player in the league right now. My gosh, he deserves the Brownlow.
Well, trying to think, and talking about the new era of the power forwards, see, you got Ben Brown, highly underrated player,
having a killer season, kicked four goals on the weekend again.
North Melbourne's best player by far,
uh-huh.
Most important player at least. Jesse Hogan, he kicked I think two goals on the weekend, but again having a fantastic year.
Yeah,
I actually posted on Twitter yesterday that Fremantle will be he'll own half of Fremantle. if he ends up going. They're going to chuck everything at him.
Yeah.
Next year. Oh, it's going to be a tense year for Melbourne supporters.
Yes, fair enough.
Buddy Franklin.
Because he's obviously originally from WA, yeah. isn't he? Yeah.
Buddy Franklin, career best form.
Yeah.
Tom Lynch kicked 8 goals, but apart from that, he's been quiet round 1 and round 3.
Mm.
And Jeremy Cameron's picking up where he's left off as well.
Exactly. So and the key forward is back, and I love it. I think it's great for footy. I think a lot of commentators were saying that they need to introduce new rules to support the so that we don't lose this key forward. But it's almost like, I don't know, they've all just come out of hiding and having a killer start to the year.
And I think last year, especially towards the end of the year when Jeremy Cameron died of an injury, I think everyone forgot how good he was.
Yeah, correct.
Because I remember watching, like, do they really need Jeremy Cameron? Like, is he? And then he plays in round one, and I don't want to bring up bad memories, but he teared the Bulldogs apart.
He did.
He is.
We didn't have an answer for him. He was just. I think we sent about 4 different defenders to him, and he just booted goals on every single one of them.
He's the second best key forward in Sydney at the moment.
Yep, I'd say that's. Patton played a very, very nice game for GWS.
He's a very, very nice player.
Yeah, on the weekend. Mm. I think he scored 158 ranking points, which is outstanding figures for a big tournament.
Before we'll go to a break soon, but the best key forward, the best double forward duo, I think, in the recent years were Roughhead and Buddy Franklin.
Yeah.
One dominant and then one second, and that's what a lot of teams failed to do. I think GWS has it nice with Jeremy Cameron being the main goal scorer, Patton there to kick one goal a game, and then you probably have, what's his name? Perryman?
Perryman.
No, Himmelberg.
Oh, Himmelberg, yeah, sorry. Himmelberg.
And I think Himmelberg's fantastic as well.
He's going to be a good player.
Yeah. What Freo did on the weekend was great as well. Well, not great. Freo did it the opposite. They had last week Tabana kick 4 goals.
Yeah.
This last week, Cam McArthur kicked 3 goals. If that works, that worked.
I agree, yeah.
Anything that works, Doggies don't have it all. I think Redpath played well.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. Redpath didn't kick as many goals, but I think Josh Dunkley seems to be emerging as a bit more. Mm. He started off as a midfielder that would swing forward, and now he's more of like a forward that swings into the midfield a little bit. Hey, we're going to jump into a song, but
play my AFL to come.
After this, we're going to be talking about who the best ruckman in the comp is. We've seen some stellar performances. Text us through who you think is at the top, because Max Gawn played a ripper game. Steph Martin ripped it up on the weekend as well.
This is the Sports Desk on Sin 90.7 with Liam McKayla. Let's jump straight back in to the best ruckman they found. The big lads are back. The big boys.
The big boys. They are back in a huge way. On the weekend, we saw some emphatic performances from one Max Gawn for Melbourne, obviously. And then in another game, we saw Stephen Martin carve it up for Brisbane. And then unfortunate, they just lost.
He's a kick as well. Kind of.
Yeah, he sort of had an opportunity at the end, sort of shanked it. But who do you think is the best ruckman in the game right now?
Right now, like if you go past the last 10 years, it's hard to go past Sanderland.
Mm-hmm.
Like he might even sign on for 2019, apparently. That's the word that's going around WA.
My gosh.
Yeah, and he'll be 36 turning 37 then.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
Big guy. But at the moment, I have to go Brody Grundy.
Yep, fair
call. I think not only is he, I think he's the best ruckman. He can kick goals. And I think something that I think Jordan Ruffhead came prominent in 2016 was the agile ruckman that can kick goals, go back.
Yeah.
Because Jordan Ruffhead wasn't originally a ruckman when he got drafted.
He was drafted as a bit of more of a backman, then moved into a bit of a utility role.
I still love the fact that Ruffhead was the vice captain in 2015. If only he stayed vice captain, he would have become a premiership captain.
Could you imagine Jordan Ruffhead as a premiership captain?
Yeah. Who'd be the one coming to the Doggies now if he was the premiership captain?
Mm. The other one that gets forgotten a little bit is Matthew Cruiser. I reckon he's a pretty good ruckman when fit. And the problem is, obviously, just cannot really seem to get a clear run at the game. He had that calf injury in round one and then missed out round two, came back in round three. He was okay. He was a little bit quiet. But I reckon when fit, Matthew Cruiser is definitely top three.
Oh, he's fantastic as well, yeah. I like Maxi Gawn. Maxi Gawn's just a good character. He's just a good character.
For me, I think Max Gawn is probably the best. And I think, as we were talking about earlier, he's probably polled at least 6 Brownlow votes, I reckon.
Good against Melbourne. Looking at it now, Melbourne should have been 3-0. They should be up there with Parramatta 3-0. They should have won the game against Geelong. Geelong should be 0-3 as well.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you on that one.
And I think especially the second half against North Melbourne was the best footy Melbourne's played all year.
Mm-hmm.
got them over the line in the game that they needed. They needed to win more than anything else in the entire Melbourne Football Club history.
Mm.
And it's him. If he goes down like he did last year, I think they're making finals would be extremely hard.
Yeah, good call.
What other good ruckman? I think, who did we forget?
I feel like we've exhausted them. I think for me, my top three, I think first place goes Max Gawn. Second place would be Brody Grundy. I agree with you on that. And then third place, sneaky little Stephen Martin, I think, because he's just up in that northern state. You don't hear too much about him, but on the weekend, he was best on ground, in my opinion. Yes,
I'll give Rory Lobb time to develop because he was a forward.
Yeah, but Rory Lobb's been having an interesting start to the season.
He's been injured. He got injured again.
Yeah.
Underperforming, but I think he could. Give him time. Okay. If he can develop properly.
Yeah.
Because I know there was some, the hype around him 2016 was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. How top three from you?
Top three for me, I would have to go Sandilands as number one, because I still think you're 35, still playing ruck now, has to be still one of the best ruckmen of all time.
Yeah, take your Freo cap off. I agree with you. I think Sandilands has been one of the best ruckmen for so long.
The main reason why I do say that is because there was talk about him before he got injured last year that he could be in All-Australian contention last year as a ruckman.
Yeah.
At 34, so that's one of the main reasons why I put him in.
Yeah.
Number two is, I'll have to say, Maxi Gawn.
Okay, yep.
And number three, Brody Grundy.
Yeah, so pretty similar.
3-2-1, 1-2-3. Brody Grundy's the best ruckman.
Okay, gotcha.
Brody Grundy's the best ruckman in the AFL. Stiff to miss out, I'll say Nanui.
Yeah, sorry, that's one.
When he comes back. Yeah. We'll see when he comes back.
He's been playing, what, like 50% game time? Yeah. And he's been very influential. In that first game when they played against, Sydney. Sydney at home. Buddy kicked eight, but Nick Natanui was probably the next best on ground with only 50% game time.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. And unfortunately for the teams, like, I think Geelong at the moment have a ruck crisis.
Mm.
Zach Smith. Yeah, he's been dropped. He doesn't play.
Yeah.
So Reece Stanley didn't play.
Yeah.
Then you got teams like Essendon, and I think they have the old fashioned ruckman, which Freo still have, but the big bulky big ruckman, that's gone now.
I agree. I think it's an old school tactic. And now, if you want to be ruckman, Aaron Sandilands, it's not probably going to work.
And the issue, big issue with Sandilands as well, is that his tap usually goes to the opposition.
Yeah.
But another issue with ruckman as well is, Jared Witts from Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Forgot to mention him.
He's under the radar, isn't he?
He's been quite good.
Yeah, I agree with you. And probably was the second best player at the Gold Coast last year behind Gary Ablett.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about GWS.
Yes,
they have released... This was an odd one, and we were talking about this off-air. The GWS Giants have announced that they want to be rebranded as just the Giants. They no longer want to be the GWS Giants.
Giants, capital letters.
Capital GIANTS. Where do you think they're coming from with this?
Playing three, they can play five, six games in Canberra.
Mm.
Especially during the Royal Easter show.
Yeah.
And maybe some towards the end of it would be massive.
Yeah,
a lot of their members come from Canberra.
Yeah.
Actually, fun fact, before Canberra Raiders joined the NRL, the ACT was more of an AFL state.
Serious?
Fun fact. Yeah. Another interesting one, this is just a conversational thing.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that Melbourne, I think, have dropped the Demons, unofficially, dropped the name Demons?
I haven't noticed.
When was the last time you've heard them being known as the Demons, or the D's?
The last time I heard them, and it was a funny story, that was, I was talking to someone about the Good Friday game, and he said it should be the Saints versus the Demons, because it's,
I'll talk about
Saints.
Media people.
But then that was the last, I kind of had this thought, I thought, oh yeah, they're called the Demons. Like, I haven't heard them called the Demons for so long.
Like, it's their logo is nothing to do with Demons anymore.
Yep.
They're just known as Melbourne.
I definitely feel like there's been a move away from that, hasn't there?
Yeah, there's been an absolute massive move away from it. Like I said, and it helps because their song doesn't have Demons or the D's in it as well. It's just, the grand old flag. That's just something I've picked up. Let us know what you think. Do you think Melbourne has dropped the Demon name?
Mm.
Make sure you text that in on 04475-191-170 or answer the poll on Twitter at the sports desk, at Sin.
Sports give us a follow desk. While you're at it as well.
Yeah, give us a follow. Give us a like.
I wouldn't mind talking to you very quickly just about this AFL score review system. On the weekend, we saw it's a little bit broken. There was a goal. They wanted to check if it was a rush behind, and the footage shows that hitting the foot of a Hawthorn player goes into the goals, and then everyone on the screen and everyone at the ground knew that it was a rush behind, and then bizarrely, it said goal. Obviously, just had a nightmare. In the bunker.
I agree with what Ben said on Monday. He probably just pressed the wrong button.
Yeah, exactly. But what do you reckon they need to do? Do you reckon they need to change the score review system?
I feel like score review system at the moment is because the Doggies are grand final.
Which one?
The Joe Hannison.
Yeah, but we still won the game.
But hypothetically, and I guarantee every Doggies supporter was like, oh no, it's 97 all over again.
That was it, yeah. I think we...
Because I personally believe...
It was the most Western Bulldogs thing that could have happened.
It was, wasn't
somehow
it?
Tom Boyd kicked a goal straight after.
Maybe because he's still got a bit of GWS in him, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do believe... I like it, but I think it has to be 100% 50-50.
Yeah, okay.
If it looks like a goal... You know what was it? If it walks like a chicken, sounds like a chicken, it's a chicken. No, if it walks like a duck, sounds like a duck, it's a duck.
Yeah.
If it looks like a goal, everyone but the defender who always claims it's touched... A good example, Savani still claims that the 93 goal was touched.
Yeah.
I feel like give the players and the umpire the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And unless it's a pure 50-50 call where it's like, no, I swear I've heard it come off the hand or did that hit the post like Tom Hawkins in 2009?
Yeah, was that kind of like the catalyst for it all bringing in?
I think it was the next one, side bottom in 2011 did the same thing, hit the post.
Yeah.
I do believe they should.
Mm-hmm.
They should keep it, but for more extreme circumstances.
Yeah.
Give it a goal if it's a goal, but if you're really not sure, it has to be a really not sure.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I just still think the technology is broken. I think if we look at sports like cricket, they've invested a lot of money into the technology, and they've got super slow-mo cameras, they have hotspot.
And you can waste time in cricket where footy 1 minute 30 is too long to waste, which they looked at.
No, fair call. Okay, I'll take that. But I think the technology, we're watching these replays and the frames that they're shot in, you can see that there's probably too much of a lag between the frames. So there's a lot of stuff that happens in between frames, and then they just have to go, oh, well, we're going to have to go with what the umpire believes is his right option. And then by the time you've wasted the time, you just think, well, what was the point of that anyway? So I think the system is broken and they need to review it and look and see if they can get maybe some better quality cameras on the goal line. Maybe something that just is super slow-mo. I don't know anything about the technology, but super slow-mo, they can get it in real time straight after the goal's been kicked and less time is wasted. And because I was at a game the other week and it took 2 or 3 minutes for them to work it out. If you're a team that has momentum in a game, score review happens and then the other team's allowed to set up, they kind of catch their breath. I think it's a huge advantage.
I'll give you a good example of how the score review kills a game. 2013, Freo-Sydney in the prelim final.
Mm.
Ballantyne kicked the goal, but Freo in the grand final. You know, the crowd's up and about, oh my God, Freo's in the grand final. They call a score review.
Yeah.
And it just killed that, like it was a goal in the end, but just killed the moment dead.
Mm.
I don't want to sound stupid, but one, the game was over. It was like 35 points with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
The game was over. Should have just been goal. Move it up. And if it wasn't a goal, umpires can come out next day and apologise. But apart from that, it should have been, it's terrible. The last thing we'll talk about is the biting incident. That was interesting.
Connor McKenna bit Tory Dixon from the Dogs.
Yeah.
Was referred straight to the tribunal. And last night we found out that he has got a 3-match suspension.
Which is very, very lenient.
Do you reckon it's lenient? I think that's...
Well, on the bright side, he was the only Essendon player to have a bite.
Show some hunger. Good.
Yeah.
Comedy
gold right there.
And just for anyone that doesn't know, Liam does the comedy show on Sundays, so you can see a bit of that seeping through into our show. No, I agree with you. I think 3 weeks was probably the minimum he could get. Any less than you would have thought. Are we now encouraging biting?
I think the tribune and the match review panel had an offer. I think Sandilands and Ranch should have got suspended.
I agree with you on that.
Both of them, one was a high hit off the ball, it's the Sandilands one, and then Alex Ranch was a late spoil.
Yeah.
And he went to hurt him. That was 100% a defensive tactic to be late.
Yeah.
Maybe not as violent as it was, but he was meant to hurt him.
Yeah, and I think you can't argue that just because Sandilands is bigger than... I can't remember who he hit.
Jared Lyne.
Just because Aaron Sandilands is bigger than him, I don't think you can take that into consideration. It's got to be...
He got him high off... And it was off high. I think it was too far off the ball anyways.
Correct.
Like, I think no matter what, it was too far off the ball. But yeah, so I think it was an off week all around. I think he should have got more for biting.
Yep.
Because you don't want people biting.
No.
It made him kind of look like a sore loser. He got tackled and then he bit.
It was a funny one because he... I don't understand... You're exactly right. It looked like a sore loser kind of... There was a run down, chase down tackle... probably ran for about 20-30 metres. Tory Dixon got him And then to bite him, I think that's just awful. It's an awful look for Connor McKenna, an awful look for the game.
It is absolutely terrible. That's all the time that we have for the AFL. It's been an AFL show.
Saturated. Let's just quickly promo both of our podcasts.
Oh, yes, yes.
This will be our last chance to do so on Sports Desk, but I host The Kennel Cough with Neve Felton. Neve hosts Sports Desk on a Friday morning. It's all about Western Bulldogs, and you can probably hear the Western Bulldogs bias seeping through the Sports Desk as I do every Wednesday.
Oh, it's going to be absolute bias this week, isn't it?
And tell us a bit about your podcast, The Flying Up One.
It's about the Essendon Football Club.
Essendon Football Club, correct. And are you going to be talking about the Western Bulldogs?
As a non-supporter, but depends. You know, I'm a bit like a WWE superstar, so I have two different characters here.
Gotcha.
I'm Liam Grey now, but on there I'll be the Liam Grey, the Essendon supporter.
Love it.
But we will be tearing the Essendon one because I said it. They should have been playing top four. They should have defeated Fremantle.
Correct.
They should have defeated Bulldogs. And they just look like a joke. And Joe Danaher will be in the firing line.
Yeah, Joe Danaher.
With the most spudtastic performance I have ever seen.
The infamous handball in the square which got turned over. They probably could have turned the game around if he had a kick that.
I think Essendon would have won if he kicked that.
Yeah. Just recapped all of the AFL, but we're going to move into the Comm Games, which are happening right now. Unfortunately, we couldn't get our Comm Games correspondent, Jake, on air. He's too busy at the moment. But if you have any thoughts on the Comm Games, you can text us through 04475 19170. Overnight, there was the 100-metre race. It was Johan Blake, who's the second fastest man in the world from Jamaica, was wildly tipped to win it, but he actually stumbled in the start of the race and ended up finishing third. So he managed to pick it up and come back. But Akani, I'm going to pronounce his name incredibly wrong, Akani Simambe, I think his name is, ended up Sorry, Akani Simbine took out the gold in the sprint, which is pretty outstanding. He's from South Africa. But yeah, a bit of an interesting one because Johan Blake, well, not so much choked, but I don't know.
It was an upset. It was an upset.
An absolute upset.
He chipped Jerry's aspirations.
yeah, fair enough.
That's all my jokes for today. I've got two good ones in.
Save them for Sunday, Liam.
Oh, I should, yeah. Just
in joke on Sunday.
Yes. Busy man.
What else has been happening in the Comm Games? How's the medal tally looking, Liam?
50 gold, 38 silver, and 42 bronze, if you don't mind, for the Aussies.
Pretty damn good. We'll take that. I'll just add, just before we leave, he's 24 years old, and he clocked in at 10.03 seconds, and that's the same time as Asafa Powell, who we all remember from the Melbourne 2006
of course.
Commonwealth Games, which is pretty crazy.
Actually, my mum said to me over there, she goes, am I getting old, or I don't remember the Commonwealth Games being in Melbourne.
Oh, my goodness. I went to the opening ceremony when I was... Would have been what, 8 years
yeah,
old?
Yeah, I remember watching it. And
best time of my life.
Actually, someone I went uni with participated. She won a gold medal. Oh, God, I was kind of happy when I saw on the TV. The Gold Coast, like, oh, hey, man, I know you. You're the most famous person I know.
Yeah. Did you see in the 10K event, Commonwealth Games, there was one event, I can't remember, I only saw the end of it, but it was the Australian women stopped at the end and they waited
for
the last team to finish and gave her a hug. I thought that was fantastic.
I thought it was fantastic, but I thought the girl who came last was not into it at all.
Really?
She did not look... Not that she didn't look... She just didn't look...
Mm.
Maybe because she's up... You know, she'd worked so hard and she finished 5 minutes last.
So it was from Uganda?
Yeah, Uganda, I think. Uganda. Yeah. So she probably felt like a bit of a, taking the piss maybe more than anything. Oh, maybe now she sort of looked back like, oh, that was a nice gesture. But at the time, you're probably like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good gesture. You know, after all the issues with the Aussies in cricket being... obnoxious, and it's good to see good sports.
Yeah, it's good to see that they're flying the flag.
Let's talk about your sport at the moment. Let's talk about the hockey.
Hey, yeah, we're doing all right.
Oh, no surprise, to be honest.
Kookaburras haven't lost a game yet, which is certainly no surprise. I think they're the number one ranked team in the world right now, but if they're not ranked, they're definitely the best player in the world, best team in the world. They're playing New Zealand tonight. Which will probably be their main competition. I think New Zealand, England.
Yeah, nil or draw.
Nil or draw.
Yeah, last time they played. And it was a good game as well. Very good. It was just a free-flowing game.
Yeah.
To and fro. It was great to see. while the men's play Canada.
They beat Canada 4-0 on the Gold Coast. Canada probably ranked just outside the top 10 in world rankings, but good to see that, you know, that these 4-0 wins, and I think the other game, from memory, the other team haven't scored against them as well, which is fantastic because keeping a clean sheet, and our forwards are doing the job as well.
Well, this is the part of the Commonwealth Games I'm more into the ball sports. I did watch some of the long balls.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind long balls.
It's because it's a ball sport?
Yeah. It's also just one of the most frustrating sports I've ever seen in my entire life, long balls.
Yeah,
I don't know if you got your ball there, and then someone just either hits it or, you know, gets close and just like, oh, I don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
The hockey's been fantastic. That's pretty much, you know, when it comes to the Olympics, that's our number one sport. Ball, you know.
Wow, careful, because we've choked the last couple of times at the Olympics. Oh. We haven't won a gold since Athens.
I'm not talking about the men's in the Olympics.
Yes,
completely different kettle of fish there. also in the netball, Australia and Jamaica, a lot of people predicted that would be the gold medal match, or the semi-final match, which it looks like it's going to be, the gold medal match.
Yep.
Both went 4-0. So there's not the gold medal yet match yet. This is the last game. But yeah, Australia destroyed Fiji 108-23 just a couple of days ago.
That's impressive scores. It is our final rapid fire wrap up.
It is.
As we said, this is our last show for the season, so it is a bit of a sad one, but let's make it as rapid and fire as we can.
Absolutely.
Start with the NBA scores.
Gonna be lit fire.
The NBA scores currently playing at the moment, Pacers versus Hornets. Hornets are up by 8 points in the second quarter. And Hawks are playing the 76ers at the moment. So 76ers are looking to go 15 in a row, but they're down by 4 points. But it's only like 3 minutes into the first quarter, 11-7.
So it's no panic station yet for Ben Simmons, 76ers.
Not yet.
But a win would pretty much secure third place. You're safe to say if they can get over the line.
Pretty impressive.
Because the Cavs only have a game to go, so I think, yeah. But the big one, because the entire things, I would say it could be pretty much set. We're in the West, apart from two teams who are playing off tomorrow, the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. Who do you have?
I've got the Timberwolves for me.
I think the Timberwolves should. They've been there all season. They've been in the top eight all season, and it would just be absolutely gut-wrenching if they don't make it.
Correct. Also, overnight in the soccer, Roma beat Barcelona 3-0, and Liverpool beat Manchester City 2-1
smashed
in the Champions League, which is two pretty big upsets.
Yeah, for those old Liverpool fans finally have something to cheer about.
Yeah, fair enough.
After choking what year was it that they choked the finals? 2014?
I couldn't tell you.
When they should have won. Also, in the A-League, the fixture's been announced for the finals.
Okay.
For the Melbourne, the two Melbourne games,
because
they're both Melbourne. Melbourne City will host either the Western Sydney Wanderers or Adelaide United, Perth Globe, Brisbane Roar. Next Friday, 20th April, then the next day, Melbourne Victory will take on Western Sydney Wanderers, Adelaide United, Perth Globe, or Brisbane Roar. Sunday, April 22nd, so you've got Friday and Sunday in the another elimination final, as well as Newcastle and Sydney FC will have the bye.
Interesting.
Because it's finally the final week of the season.
Finally the final.
Oh, who cares about the A-League anymore?
And our last one. This is some pretty impressive stuff from our Matildas, Australians. They scored 8 goals in the Asian Cup last night to get back on track. They won 8-0 over Vietnam. That tournament's being played in Jordan at the moment. I want Sam Kerr scored 2 goals. 2 goals for Sam Kerr, which is pretty impressive. You'd almost say it's a quiet game first.
Yeah, pretty quiet, yeah. That's like saying Tom Mitchell only got like 40 disposals.
Have we got anything else, Liam, or are we all rapid-fire wrapped up?
Are we all rapid-fire wrapped up? That's an interesting question. Oh, yeah, back to NBA. Who's going to win? Who's the favourite to win?
Okay.
Forgot to mention that. Let's go straight for
it. I think the Houston Rockets. They've got the best record in the West, so I am going to back them in.
I've got a sneaky feeling, and it's unfortunate for me because I don't want this to happen. It's going to be Golden State versus Cleveland.
Yeah, that's a pretty safe bet, isn't it?
Because I really don't want to see it for a fourth time. I didn't want to see it for a third time. And I actually didn't really want to see it for a second time. But definitely not a fourth. If they do play four times, there's an issue with the NBA and something they might have to look at, apart from the fact that they both won't finish first or second this year in their conferences. So it may be something they need to look at. It's very odd. It's an odd thing.
Yeah, agreed. Well, that's all we have time for this morning. Thank you so much for joining us all season, and thank you, Liam, for being an absolutely magnificent co-host with me. And maybe in the future, we'll maybe season 3 we might come back on the show and do another show.
Yeah, I hope so. But this has been the Sports Desk on season 90.7.